It's Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. I'm Kevin Kelly, your host for the next hour. We're on every Monday through Friday from 12 to 1, bringing you live performances often, including today, but always it's a focus on area performances by local and visiting artists. And we have a kind of combination of both today. The first part of the program will be devoted to the University of Illinois Summer Harp Class 2010 concerts. The class is going on towards the end of this week, and there's a concert each day, Thursday through Saturday. And we've got two of the performers in the studio with us to play, and also the professor of harp at the U of I, Ann Young, who will talk about the program. And then for the second half of the show, we'll talk with John Stevens, who's director at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. Their summer season kicks off this week with the wonderful musical Showboat. It opens on Wednesday, and we'll hear some songs from there. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Stay tuned. We heard a madrigal by Heinrich Schütz called The Spring, performed by the area vocal ensemble called Gravitation, and heard on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And I thought I'd use that sort of heavenly-sounding music before the stereotypically heavenly-sounding music of the harp. We have two harpists with us on the program today, Catherine Denler and Chen Yu Huang, and they were brought along by their professor, Ann Young, who is teaches harp at the University of Illinois. And it is the time for the summer harp class at the U of I. runs, does the class as well as the concerts run the 10th through the 12th?
Yes, it starts this Thursday and then goes through Saturday evening.
And this is how many years for the class?
I believe, let's see, it started in 2003, so this is what, 7 years. This is, I'm lucky seven.
Yeah. See, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. This would actually be the eighth year. Yeah, because you got to count. You got to count 2003.
That's true.
Yeah, time flies. And I forget, how long have you been at the U of I?
I started in the fall of 1999. So I just finished my 11th year here.
Yeah, congratulations. You're sticking around, I hope.
I hope so. we'll see.
To the best of your knowledge.
Right.
Are you a tenured professor?
I am tenured now, yes.
Well, there you go. Well, then, the rest has been in your control, probably.
Well, you never know these days, but I'm very grateful and happy to be working here.
Yeah, and your class, it seems to me, has grown. I mean, the harp class has grown since you've been here. Is that accurate to say?
Well, you know, it just depends on the year. The very first year, I think we had 20 or more, and they were from ages 12 to 55, and just kind of goes from year to year. But somehow the offerings seem to get more and more ambitious every year sometimes.
Oh, well, I actually meant your class at the university.
Oh, okay. Yes, I've got a exciting group of new students coming in, plus the current group. They're all great. So I've been really fortunate to have such a nice studio to work with.
How do you, and I'm still talking about just for the general School of Music at the moment, the harp mm-hmm. class, before we get to the summer harp class, but how do you recruit for harpists, or do they just come to you?
Well, they don't just come to me, I don't think, but recruiting, it just depends. A lot of harpists start privately because there's not as many school programs that offer harp instruction, although that is something that is changing, which is a heartening sort of development, actually. So often it comes from, like, travels or if I'm teaching somewhere, or they come to visit the campus sometimes because they're interested, you know, in a place that offers them both the music training but also the academic side. They want to go to somewhere where it's a university setting. So it just depends, you know.
Of the two folks who are with us here, Catherine and Chen Yu, why did you choose to come to U of I?
I was already a student with Dr. Young. I started when I was 16, so it was a natural progression just to stay.
Oh, you were taking privately mm-hmm. in high school.
Actually, Catherine was one of the first summer harp class participants, I think, before she started studying with
us. Oh, is that right?
What happened was I came to the summer harp class and took a few lessons while I was here, and then my mom was very ambitious and asked if we could start private instruction with Dr. Young. And then when I was looking at colleges, I was just like, well, you know, I think we have a good thing going. So, and it seemed like a very good fit for me to the university setting.
And you just told me before we came in here that you're going off to her alma mater for grad school.
Yes, I'll be going to Indiana University in the fall.
Yeah. Chen Yu, how did you find Professor Young?
My story is much more simpler. my teacher in undergrad back in Taiwan was a good friend of Dr. Yang, and she recommended me, well, she's a really good teacher, and I was like, okay, I'll go here. That's all.
And that's all?
Yep.
And you've been here for how long?
I think it's the fifth year. It's going to be six year.
And are you done yet?
Nope, because I started here with master's degree,
yeah.
And now I'm
working on the doctorate.
Yep.
Yeah, well, and we've had you on. You performed for us last year when we were talking about the summer harp class.
Yeah.
That was the occasion, right? Was that really a year ago? And I know you were on the show talking with me, but you didn't actually get to play a few weeks ago.
Oh, for Cranert debut.
Yes, that's right. I was trying to remember what was the occasion for that. You were the debut artist at the Cranert Center this year. Oh. I never got to ask you how that recital went. Wonderfully?
I hope.
Catherine is nodding enthusiastically. It sounded great, and I hope you had a good crowd.
It was a good
crowd.
Well,
yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the harp class. So you said the range has gone from, what did you say?
The first year we had participants from age 12 to 55. In recent years, it's been a mixture of both from elementary to high school age to postgraduate, such as the person who will be playing with Catherine on Friday, Leah Wong, is actually a doctoral student from the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music. So it's just a mixture. And all ages.
There's one person who I'm guessing, well, I don't know, she's probably older than she looks, Noelle Juan.
Yes, she's actually 16, and she Noelle is just won the first international harp competition in the Netherlands this March, just after her 16th birthday. And she'll actually be enrolling this fall at the University of Illinois as a freshman. She's homeschooled in California and passed her GED exam, so looking forward to having her here.
Well, then she isn't any older than she looks in that case.
No.
At 16. Well, let's hear, before we talk a little bit more about the class and the concerts that are coming up, I'll just mention the one. Well, you indicated that Catherine Dendler is playing with Leah Huang on, you know, I'm having a little trouble reading this, on Saturday?
Friday afternoon at 12 p.m. in the Memorial Room of Smith Hall. And it's free and open to the public, and they have lots of beautiful pieces by famous composers, Fauré, Bach, Prokofiev, and then some by some harp composers such as Parrish Alvars, Renier, and Hootie.
And Catherine, what are you going to play for us right now?
Speaking of Hootie, I'll be playing the first movement of his sonata for harp.
Hootie.
Pyrrhic.
Hootie. How do you spell that?
H-O-U-D-Y.
H-O-U-D-Y. Mm-hmm. Where is that person from?
He's a French composer who he taught in Canada for quite a while, and now he's back in France.
Okay. Catherine Dendler from the University of Illinois just graduated and participating in the summer harp class here on Live and Local. Thank you. Harpist Catherine Dendler here on Live and Local. What was the first name of that composer?
Pyrrhic.
Pyrrhic Hoodie. And the name of the piece again?
Sonata for Harp.
And are you going to be performing that on Friday's noon recital?
Yep, that'll be the first piece. That'll be my opener.
Yeah, it's beautifully done.
Thank you.
Ann Young, who is the professor of at harp at the University of Illinois and organizes the summer harp class, which starts on Thursday, mentioned some of the composers represented on the recitals and also that there are some of these harpist composers, mm-hmm. and that was one of them. Do you find that harpists who write for the harp write music that is any more gratifying to play or easier to play than, and any of you can answer this, than by non-harpists?
Actually, I don't. He's married to a harpist.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said he was one of those harpist composers.
He's written a lot for harp because of that. So we kind of claim him as, you know, a lot of the music he's written is for harp. So
I think one of the notable harpist composers that Dr. Young mentioned would be Parrish Alvars and then Renier.
Mm-hmm.
And both those, I would say from playing that music, it is very gratifying. But I don't think any more gratifying than playing, say, like the Hindemith Sonata or something like that.
Do you find it? Does it tend to be at all easier to play because it's written by a harpist, so they know what you can do, or does it tend to be written by extremely good harpists who write for their fingers and then challenge all the rest of you?
I actually feel like music written by a harpist is much difficult. Well, technically, it's really difficult for a harpist. It's very challenging because they are all very good harpist, and they, well, I guess they're just, I don't know, feel like it's too bored to play easy pieces, maybe.
Well, they know what's the possibilities capable in terms of, like, technical patterns and things like that, so sometimes they'll write things that they could execute with no problem, whereas maybe someone who doesn't perform the instrument will think of something creatively, which may not be suit the fingers that easily, but also maybe not so technically challenging. So it just depends.
So they can exploit the harp a little. The harpist composers can exploit the instrument a little bit more.
Sometimes.
And therefore exploit the performer, maybe. Well, you have, I notice here at the bottom of the poster that I have for the harp class concerts, that there is going to be a world premiere by a harpist composer who I think had a, didn't you do a piece of Julie Jameson's last year?
Yes, we've been very fortunate to have Julia Jameson, who actually, she's a principal harpist with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra and resides here in Urbana.
And got her degree here.
Right, she got her master's degree here in 2002. And she's written or arranged several works for us. So this year, actually, she's written a piece called Botka, and it's heavily inspired by Lady Gaga's Bad Romance. So, and robots. So actually, the structure follows the song exactly. So you can actually play Lady Gaga's Bad Romance and go through your part and see rhythmically where your part fits into it. So it's for harp ensemble, so four separate parts. And I think we'll have, let's see, how many people premiering it?
20.
20?
Not quite 20. Oh, wait, 16. Wait, 3, 6, 6 16. Plus 4, 10 plus 14? I think 14.
A lot.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Yeah, and that's spelled BOT.GA.
Right.
Botka. Lady Gaga is one of those people that I only heard of recently, mm-hmm. and I haven't a clue what her music sounds like. I'm assuming Lady Gaga is actually a she.
Yes.
I think I did look that up once, because you just never know. Like, it sounds like it could be the name of a drag queen or something like that, but not the case, huh?
Not the case. Her music is very techno, dance-inspired, so it's very lively music.
And this is going to be on the final recital.
Yes, that'll be Saturday night in the Music Building Auditorium at 7:30 p.m., and that will be the last piece on the concert. What we do is basically they're sent the parts in advance, maybe about a month and a half before the class, those who want to participate. And then we put it together, hopefully in about, 3 days, basically two rehearsals, a dress rehearsal. And so we'll see how it goes, but I think it should be fun.
The opening concert is being given by the other harpist who is with us right now, Chen Yu Huang, and as we mentioned earlier, is the 2010 debut artist for the Krannert Center, and gave that recital in the spring. That concert is Thursday night, 7:30, in the recital hall of Smith Memorial Hall. The rest are in other locations, but this is you sort of get the grand venue for your recital, and you're one of two who gets the whole concert to yourself. Are you going to be repeating your debut artist recital or some of the pieces there?
Some of the pieces.
And what do you want to do for us right now?
I'm going to play Marcel Grangini Rhapsody, and that would be on my concert, the closing piece of the first half.
On Thursday evening at 7:30. We're talking about the summer harp class at the University of Illinois. It runs Thursday through Saturday. Participants, they're already chosen. If somebody wants to sign up, it's probably too late.
There's certainly space for auditors, and if someone wants to sign up, contact me. But generally, by this point, you know, most of this, what they do is they come here with several pieces prepared, and we work with them on it during the class, and then they'll perform one of them on the final participants' recital on Saturday night.
So. But if somebody wanted to sit in, they could get a hold of you. And
yes, we do have auditors are certainly welcome to just register. I believe they can probably still register through the school music website, through the Office of Public Outreach. Tracy Parrish is the coordinator for that, so there's a form they can fill out for that.
Okay, so we're mostly encouraging people to go out and hear these harpists.
Absolutely.
Thursday through Saturday. So Chen Yu Huang is next on Live and Local. Thank you. I didn't hear the other performers who competed for the right to the Granert Center Debut Artist Award this year, but I can imagine how you won that. That was really beautiful playing.
Thank you.
And a wonderful piece of music. Is it Marcel Grandjean? Is that his first name?
Yes.
Yeah. And the name of it again?
It's called Rhapsody.
Just a Rhapsody. It was beautifully rhapsodic, that's for sure. I actually made a note. I don't think I own any harp CDs at home, I'm sorry to say. But I made a note, get a harp CD for home, because I have this wonderful stereo where I think I'd love to have some music, and including that piece. That is all his music, that beautiful?
Well, he was actually the harp professor at Juilliard for many, many years.
He?
And you actually can get a CD of him performing his own compositions, which the American Harp Society has issued. That's the National Harp Society. And that piece in particular is quite a personal piece for him. I don't know if Jenny wants to tell a little bit, because she's written some nice program notes about it. The Rhapsody by Grandjean.
The piece is based on a Gregorian chant, which should be sung on Easter Day in Catholic Church.
Mm.
And Grandjean was a really devoted Catholic, So I think this piece is specifically an expression of his own belief.
Mm. Well, it certainly had a spiritual element to it, that's for sure. I had two other questions for you. One of them is technical, one of them not so. There's a sound that you produced a number of times, which I've heard on harp before, but I never really thought to ask how it's done. It almost sounds like if you were another string player, violinist or something, you'd be using a mute, where you're producing a different sort of slightly deader sound. That's not even the right word, but it doesn't have the full ring to it. You know what I'm talking about?
You might be thinking of a near the soundboard sound we call près de la table. You want to try?
Let's see if this is the sound. No.
Or harmonics?
Not that one. Could be the harmonics. That's it.
No,
yeah. Now, how are you doing that? I can't quite see past the
I'm plugging the string, but at the same time damping approximately the middle of the string.
With the heel of your hand?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's the sound. I wondered how that was. And the other one is not technical. How common is it for someone to play barefoot? you're playing, I noticed you're barefoot on the pedals.
Yeah, because it's Catherine's harp, and I don't want to get it dirty.
But she didn't play barefoot.
Yeah, well. It just depends. I think it's pretty common for harpists to play barefoot.
Really?
It's just very comfortable, like when we practice.
When they practice at home, but not when they're out on the stage or playing for a job, right? Unless it depends on the situation, but yeah. Usually, I mean, if they're practicing at home, they'll practice in their shoes, though. That is important sometimes because there are 7 pedals on the concert grand harp, and those actually change the actual pitch that they'll be playing rather than the actual sound you hear, like on a piano. So it's really important that they feel comfortable with what they're doing with their feet. So that's why some like to play with shoes and some like to play without.
Well, if you make a career of playing without shoes, I've got the title for your first album, the Barefoot Harpist, or some such thing. Well, Chen Huang performed for us just now on Live and Local, and she will give the opening concert at the 2010 Summer Harp Class at the University of Illinois Thursday evening at 7:30 in the recital hall at Smith Memorial Hall on the University of Illinois campus at the south end of Matthews Avenue. And on Friday, there are 2 recitals, a noon one in the Memorial Room upstairs in Smith Hall on the second floor. Catherine Dendler, who performed earlier, will be performing as along with Leah Huang. And then the evening concert on Friday will also be in the Memorial Room at Smith Hall. That's being given by Noel Juan, who was the first prize winner at the International Harp Competition in the Netherlands this year. That's at 7:30 Friday. And 2 recitals on Saturday as well. The noon afternoon recital is at 2 o'clock Saturday in the auditorium of the Music Building, which is right across the street south of the Krannert Center. And that features Molly O'Rourke and Peter Huang along with the University of Illinois Harp Quartet. And then the evening gala recital is all the participants at 7:30, also in the auditorium of the Music Building. And is that the concert that will feature the premiere then?
Yes, of Julia Jameson's Bocca, which is inspired by Lady Gaga and robots.
And robots, Julia K. Jameson. And the harp professor at U of I and head of the summer harp class is Ann Young. And I thank all 3 of you for coming on the show today.
Thanks very much for having us.
Some really beautiful music, and there's lots of beautiful music if you are into the harp, and even if you are not, but just like beautiful sounds all week long on the University of Illinois campus. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our next conversation is with John Stevens of the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan about the wonderful musical by Jerome Kern called Showboat. the overture to the musical Showboat, music by Jerome Kern, and lyrics to the show by Oscar Hammerstein II. We heard a performance by the London Sinfonietta, led by John McGlynn, from his recording with quite an all-star, actually operatic cast of the complete show of the original 1927 Broadway version. It features Frederica von Stade as Magnolia Hawks, Jerry Hadley as Gaylord Ravenal, Teresa Stratus in there as Julie Laverne as well. Bruce Hubbard is Joe, and some other lights as well. And that's a prelude to our conversation in a moment with John Stevens of the Little Theater on the Square about their performance, which opens on Wednesday. Performances of the musical. Programs on FM 90.9 are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, presenting a free performance of Sunday Afternoon Songbook at 1 p.m. on Sunday, June 13th, featuring Caitlin Dobbs, Annie Wrong, and Rick Murphy. More information can be found at krannertcenter.com. John, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. Well, I almost welcomed you.
That's fine. Nobody ever does welcome me. So
thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And sorry you got stuck in some traffic, nasty construction.
Absolutely. All over the place. 57, 72, all over the place there's traffic.
Well, I haven't been out on the highway for a while. It makes me definitely not want to go out.
Yes, absolutely.
For a little bit. So is Showboat the opening of your summer season?
Our 53rd season, yeah. We're very excited. It opens on this Wednesday, actually.
So you consider the start of the season is in the summer?
Because that's the way the theater originally started. When Guy Little started it back in 1957, it was a summer-only theater then. We've now expanded it to a year-round producing theater. So we count the summers, yes, the start of our season.
Did you say 1957?
57.
Wow.
53 years.
Wow. That's so I missed your 50th anniversary.
Absolutely. We had a big production of Follies in concert. Well, it started out as an in-concert version and everybody was going to be on books. We brought back some of the stars that had been here. Ambi Davis, who was Alice on the Brady Bunch. Colleen Zink from As the World Turns and her husband. Mark Pinter and Susan Seaforth Hayes and Bill Hayes from Days of Our Lives. There were quite a few people here for that. And my favorite, she was the original Laurie in Oklahoma. Back in 1932 or 33.
I'm not going to help.
Joan Roberts is her name.
Joan Roberts.
She was 83 years old to perform in Follies for us. She had performed in Follies on Broadway just a few years before, but we had a huge production of that, played four performances of it, sold out. It was amazing, amazing weekend.
So were you the executive director at that point?
I was not. I was the director of marketing at that point. So we had a huge party for our 50th anniversary, had 450 people at it. It was just quite a weekend.
And how long have you been involved with the Little Theater?
This is my fifth season at the Little Theater. I started as director of marketing and then became the associate managing director, then a managing director, now the executive director.
Executive director moved up the ranks. And I probably asked you this in a previous conversation, but have you been involved in on stage in your career?
Very little bit. That's kind of where I started at. I'm a singer and have sang all over the place, from the Grand Ole Opry to sang the national anthem for White Sox games.
Really?
Did the whole circuit of theme parks and things like that, and got my degree from Millikan in music education, choral directing, and that's my love. And then kind of I taught for 5 years in Decatur and moved over to the theater and started as the director of marketing. I worked with the Decatur Park Singers for 10 years and became...
As the director of the singer?
I started out as a singer and then became the road manager of the group. And the last year I was there, I was the executive director and directed the Young Park Singers, the high school age group.
What made you decide to sort of go the executive route or the business route?
I really liked watching what happens when you have somebody that discovers what it's like to be on stage. And I wanted to give them that chance because I had such great chances in my career with doing it, and it's so fulfilling to see what it's like, that high you get when you're on stage, and for young people to experience it for the first time is really important to me.
So have you found sort of the vicarious enjoyment of somebody else's high better than your own?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Just knowing that those are my people up there, those are my kids, and the things that I do make them be able to do what they want to do and succeed at it. And I think we're really lucky at the Little Theater to be continuing to prosper and grow and make things better all the time.
I don't know if I've ever heard it put quite that way. I mean, there's certainly plenty of people who, in all walks, who have been performers and then either go into teaching or go into administration or go into mm-hmm. something else having to do with the field. But I don't remember ever anybody saying quite what you said. I mean, people could assume, well, there's that old adage, if you can't do, then teach.
Teach, yeah.
Which isn't exactly fair. I mean, I'm sure it happens in some instances.
It does. I take my turn on stage every once in a while just to remember why I continue to do it. In fact, this last Saturday night, we had our opening season cabaret, and everybody in the company performed, and we had the rehearsal the night before, and they saw the boss getting up to sing, and there were looks on their faces like, oh, the boss is going to sing. And then, then afterwards they were like, oh, wow, did not expect that. So
I
can still sing it, yes.
The boss.
Yeah.
Is that how they look at you, do you think?
Yeah, they smile when I bring a paycheck. So anything else, they just say hi and are very cordial. And, you know, my administration staff and my executive staff of directors and stuff all work with me very well. But I don't get real involved in the day-to-day rehearsals and things like that unless I need to.
But you just sort of hang out in the wings and, mm-hmm. and vicariously
yes,
enjoy.
Yes, cheer them on and make sure that they can do what they need to do.
What made you and your executive director, Traylon, I'm getting
Doler,
Traylon
yes.
Doler,
yeah.
Decide to pick Showboat as your opener this year?
It hasn't been done at the Little Theater since 1967, and the previous artistic director said that it was just too big to do, and I wanted to prove it wrong. Mm. I knew it had been done. Guy Little Jr. did it, and did it very successfully. And so we decided it was time to put it. And we had a lot of people that had been asking for it. So it is huge. I found out it's really huge. There's a 33-foot boat on the stage, two levels, and 31 people in the cast, which is the biggest cast the Little Theater's had in probably 25 years.
Well, I was thinking that, 31 isn't – you said 31?
31.
That's not even big.
Oh, no.
You know, as theater goes.
No, but with our stage being the size it is, it's just so hard to get any more than that on there.
So how much of a challenge did you find it to do the show with just that small number of people, even though it was a large cast for you guys?
With it being paced the way it is and written so well, with 31, it's definitely manageable. There's no super quick changes that they have to make or anything like that, so they can take their time and become the next character that they need to be. It takes a little mustache here and a different wig here, but it's very doable.
And hope the mustache doesn't fall off.
Absolutely.
It's the sort of comic routine
yeah.
that often will sometimes happen, either inadvertently or not. Two of the characters in the show, Gaylord Ravenal, who is the gambler, mm-hmm. I guess, river gambler, and Magnolia Hawks.
Yes.
One of my favorite songs of many favorite songs in this show is when they first encounter each other, and of course, it only happens in musicals and movies.
Yes,
love at first sight.
Oh yes, and it so happens that the couple that plays them for us are a husband and wife couple.
Oh,
and they are magic together on stage, just brilliant together.
And who are they?
His name is Jason Fleck. He actually did it with Susan Stroman over in London, did the London production of it and the Hal Prince version of it. And his wife is Jeannie Schubitz, and they come from Arizona. They've both done the show a few times, and they're just magical together. And the couple that plays Ellie and Frank are also a married couple, and the two couples are best friends. They met doing the show 6 years ago, and we happen to know the Ellie and Frank couple, and they've worked with us before. They just got off the national tour of The Wedding Singer, Jill and Mike Zygo, and came back to us, and they're so thrilled to be there. And Jill gave me the greatest compliment. We gave them both their equity cards the last time they were here, and she said, you know, this is like home coming here. She's like, I've been all over the world. She's like, it's just so peaceful to come to Sullivan and be able to do great art, and that means so much to me.
Well, here is the roles of Gaylord and Magnolia, NOLA, played here from the, which recording did I pull up? It is the original cast of the 1946 Broadway revival with Charles Fredericks and Jan Clayton here on Live and Local. Charles Fredericks and Jan Clayton as Gaylord Ravenel and Magnolia Hawks. Make Believe from the show Showboat, music by Jerome Kern, lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein II. And Showboat, one of those great classics. That was from the 1946 Broadway revival. What was it, 1927?
27, when it was written. The very first musical, really. They went from opera to operetta to... That's what they called the start of the American musical.
Well, the start of the American musical as it became. I mean, there were musicals.
There were musicals, but as a whole there, yeah. As what
they're more
it
like
now
musical
is.
Reviews,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
But this actually told a story.
Had
there was
a true
actually
storyline,
drama
yes.
in
yeah.
it.
And there, some comedy and a little bit of everything.
There
Not
were
a
black
lot.
People
yes.
in it. I mean, that was probably a huge deal at the time. And there's some, I know there's some companies that actually find that fact sort of off-putting to put on. Not that there's black people in it, which would be
well, it's very, hard, very, a lot of racial tension in it, and they use some words that aren't used a lot on stage.
Supposed to use, but also, you know, I would imagine it could be controversial with some African Americans that is actually black people playing slaves.
Yes, absolutely. We've got a great cast. Our Queenie is from Chicago, Wydetta Carter. She's an equity actress up there, and just this is the role that it was made for her. She's so magnificent in it, and she loves the show. And thank goodness that. And our Joe is very young, but that. That roaring bass note in Old Man River.
He's got it, huh?
Oh, does he have it? And it's just going to bring the house down every time.
Well, you probably have to go for the notes in that case
yes.
and do
yeah.
the makeup.
Yep. We can age anybody.
Well, there was one, I was looking at the pictures of some of the people in the cast, and one of them looks like he's a kid of some
yeah.
kind. Maybe he is.
Yeah.
Because you've got to have a crowd, mm-hmm. I guess, out of 31.
Yeah, we do have... we only have one child in the show, actually, the young Kim. We have some, you know, 16, 18-year-olds that are in it as well, but a few local people in it. So a couple from Decatur that are in it, and a couple from Charleston that are in it, Mattoon. But mostly from Chicago, New York, California, Texas, all over the place.
And our guest who was here last week, I guess, talking about the Broadway boot camp.
Heather Johnson.
Heather
yes.
Johnson, I saw.
She's in it as well.
And the Broadway boot camp continues, although I guess it's too late to have signed up for that.
For the first week of it. There's still three more weeks
yeah.
of it that they can sign up for. And we'll gladly take reservations for it. It's almost full, though.
For more information on Showboat, which opens on Wednesday at the Little Theater in Sullivan, and for the boot camp, for that matter, if you want to sign up, you sign up your kids for that, it's thelittletheater.org.
Yes.
My guest for this portion of Live and Local. It's been John Stevens, who is the executive director. We've been pleased to have you on again, and we'll have you back for another show.
Thank you so much. Maybe I'll bring some friends with me next time.
Oh, that would be great. We'd love to have some singing if
yeah.
we can work it out in the rehearsal schedule.
Absolutely.
You guys do actually rehearse.
A lot.
A lot. And it shows. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
And support for our program today on FM 90.9 comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector. To the first-time buyer, wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. I'll be back with another show tomorrow from 12 to 1. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining me today, and enjoy the rest of this beautiful day. Forecast continues to call for a mostly sunny sky with a high of 75. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight, the low 60. Tomorrow, periods of showers and thunderstorms with some locally heavy rainfall possible and high of 73. It's WYLL FM and HD Urbana.